transcribed.
From Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood, from the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine.
Hopper. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Tonight, you can look over my shoulder at a very special broadcast. Because at the beginning of each year, I pick the players I think are either ready or destined for stardom. I base my judgment upon experience, talent, breaks, and that elusive quality called personality. Some of the players I chose this year are not newcomers. Arthur Kennedy's been doing fine work for years on stage and screen, but he had to wait until lights out for a role that made him a star. Others, like Gary Merrill and Debbie Reynolds, came up faster through roles that fit their particular talents. Still others, like Judy Holliday, Marlo Brandau, Charlton Heston, and Micheline Prell, revealed starring qualities in their very first pictures. But before going on, I want you to meet a magnificent man, without whose presence this occasion just wouldn't be complete. For years, president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. He has 3 Oscars for special services to the industry sitting on his own desk, with more honors and speeches and...
And now, Hedda, you are making a speech. Stop it, will you?
Gene Herschel.
You are making me sound like a cornerstone. Besides, bouquets should be thrown at women. It's you who are encouraging young stars.
Gene, in my opinion, these are the players who will be stars in 1951.
I'll buy that, Hedda. In the years you've been doing this, I know you've been almost 100% right. So, tell me, who are you betting on for the Rose Bowl tomorrow?
Oh, no, you don't. And, Gene, these young people, the ones I've mentioned and all the others who are right here with us, they're not just bets for stardom. They're my predictions.
I hope they'll frame the parchment scrolls you give them and someday all have Oscars to put under them. But who are the rest of them? Come on now, roll up the curtain. Turn on the spotlight.
All right, Jean, here we go. Sit down here beside me, because later there's a job for you, too. First of all, I'm going out on a limb to predict stardom for a young man who's never even been in a picture.
You're what?
Yes, and if the millions of his fans back me up, he soon will be a star. He's Dick Contino, who came down from Ciro's to show you what I mean. All set to play something, Dick?
Here we go, Hedda.
Thank you. I now understand why I had to put on an extra secretary to answer letters from your fan club. And here's another young player with loyal fans. In fact, it was the clamor they raised that convinced his studio it should give Anthony Curtis the big part he deserves.
Bless the fans, Miss Harper. But a New York cop helped me, too.
What do you mean, a cop?
Well, when I was almost eight, a gang of us kids used to prowl the streets of New York, fighting and sometimes stealing. Well, one day a cop picked us up and carried the whole gang to a settlement house. That's where a director took us in tow. He taught us to play cops and robbers on the stage. Well, that did it. I was hooked. Ever since then, I've been an actor.
Only now you limit yourself to stealing scenes, especially in that new UI picture. What's it called?
Well, I guess I couldn't outgrow it, Miss Hopper. It's called The Prince Who Was a Thief.
Good luck, Tony Curtis.
Thank you very much.
Faith DeMert, my next nominee, originally came from New Orleans, but the folks in her hometown have waited a long time to see her on the screen. Why? Because she's been under contract to Howard Hughes for 10 years, and it's not until now that the two pictures she's made, Where Danger Lives and Vendetta, are opening on Broadway. What have you been doing all this time, Faith?
Oh, studying dramatics, dancing, voice. I got married, I had a baby, I established a home, and I...
Stop! 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 Not all that, and drawing a salary, too.
Well, not a very big one, but it's kind of nice.
That never happened like that to me when I was young. But I know it was a very wise investment on the studio's part. How does it feel now your pictures are finally opening?
Oh, it feels wonderful, Miss Harper.
And you'll be wonderful, too, my dear. Frank Lovejoy, he'll be a star in 51, too. Remember Home of the Brave, when he played the army sergeant?
Well, I do, Miss Hopper. My wife says it really did things for my vocabulary.
Frank, I know ever since Three Secrets, Warner Brothers have had a lot of big plans for you. Now you're going places.
Well, I'm not so sure. Did you see the latest one, Breakthrough?
But you had a great part in that.
Oh, the studio is doing fine by me, but didn't you notice my stripes? I was still a sergeant.
Well, keep bucking, Frank.
Well, Miss Hopper, I'm grateful for the honor, and I hope to prove worthy of it. 51, thanks.
I wanted to ask Jan Sterling, who is my next nominee for stardom, what she considers to be the best thing she's ever done, but I'm afraid I already know the answer to that.
Yes, Hetty, you're right. I married Paul Douglas.
Well, that wasn't what I meant, only... yes, you're right. That wasn't bad, was it?
Well, I played in Bourne Yesterday once, and now I'm trying to catch up.
Now you're running away from me. What I thought your answer would be is your last picture for Paramount, the one that convinced me you're a star. You know, you're lucky. Paul Douglas for a husband, Alan Ladd as co-star in United States Mail.
You think I'm developing a corner on the Mail United States?
You don't have to corner it, Jan. You've got it.
Thanks.
A husky young fellow used to park my car at one of the lots here in Hollywood. The other evening, I parked it myself. To watch him in Metro's new picture, Pagan Love Song. He's Howard Keel. And Howard, will you show people why I'm predicting great things for you? Will you sing a number from your first hit, Annie Get Your Gun?
Hedda, never ask a singer to sing, because 12 times out of a dozen, he'll do it. It's wonderful as they tell.
nothing more shouting at love is grand.
With an intriguing accent and guaranteed stardom, not only in movies, but on radio, too. Mr. Gene Herschel.
Young newcomer. Why, my dear Miss Harper, a grandfather can't afford to make any facetious jokes about age.
Never mind, I'll take it all back. I just wanted you here in the spotlight again, Gene. Now is when I'm going to put you to work.
But the young people, I want to know who is next.
Five of them. All the rest on my list. Here, read this.
Miss Mara Powers. A wonderful work in RKO's The Outrage. Barry Sullivan, one of the stars of MGM's Grounds for Marriage. Jeff Chandler of Smuggler's Island out at Universal International. Lloyd Bridges from Robert Stillman's picture Sound of Fury. And David Wayne, who starred in 20th Century Fox, Will You Love Me in December. Say, that's quite a list, Heather.
Gene, tonight I think it's appropriate for you to tell a story. A story about your town, my town, and their town. A star is born, remember?
Of course I do. And this is our cast, these five people.
David Wayne, you play a young assistant director at the start of the story, so come over here. Read the playbill, please.
I certainly will, Hedda. Mala Powers will play Esther Blodgett. Barry Sullivan will be Norman Maine. Jeff Chandler as Oliver Niles. And Lloyd Bridges as Libby, the publicity man.
Thanks, David. Take it over, Gene.
Oh, don't go away, Hedda. There's a part later for you, too. And guess what? The grandmother. Ready, everyone? Music? Remember the picture? All about Hollywood. The tinsel, the glamour, the heartache. The end of the rainbow in many young girls' dreams. In this case, a young girl from a farm in the Middle West. A girl named Esther Blodgett.
Listen, sister. In the first place, I'm not a director. I'm an assistant director. In the second place, if I had any jobs to give away, I'd confer one on myself. In the third place, your chances for a job are 1 in 100,000. And in the fourth place, you should have stayed at home in the first place. Now get out of here. You're too broke and you're too nice. Go home, will you?
No. I'm going to be a star. As big as Clark Gable or Joan Crawford or even Norman Maine.
Norman Maine, a star way, way up in the Hollywood sky. But a star beginning to lose its luster. Then, as it sometimes happens in this magic town, the wide-eyed Cinderella met her Prince Charming.
Thanks for bringing me home, Mr. Maine.
Yes, sir, you don't have to go right in. You've got very pretty hair.
Have I?
And a sensitive mouth and a charming little...
Don't.
What's the matter, Esther? Disappointed in me?
Yes.
Why?
Well, you drink too much. And you aren't quite like what I thought you'd be.
I bet I know what you're going to say now.
What?
Good night.
Well, good night and thanks.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you realize that all I found out about you is that you're foolish enough to want to go into pictures?
Why is it foolish? My grandmother gave me her life savings so I'd have a chance. And look at you, why, you've been on top for years.
And it's very slippery up there. Slippery and very, very lonely. Now, I'd like to go into that matter rather thoroughly. I might get you to meet my producer, Oliver Niles.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you.
So, why don't we go up to my place, talk it over?
Oh, no. Thank you very much, but I really must say goodnight.
Look, Esther, on the screen, I'm, well, you know. In private life, I'm, well, you know. But whatever I do, I still respect lovely things. And you'll love you. Good night, Esther.
Oh, man. Norman, now, what have you done now? You're not in jail, are you? Oh, so it's that again. Yeah, she's beautiful, I know. You want me to give her a screen test? Sure. Sincerity, honesty, trustworthiness. Hmm? Of course I'm awake, but what are you so fired up about anyway? What have you been drinking tonight? Esther Blodgett.
Now, look, Mr. Niles, I write publicity. I don't christen babies the wolf drags.
Oh, let me be quiet. Esther Victoria Blodgett. Esther Victoria. Vicky. How about Vicky? Only Vicky what?
How about Vicky? Pronounced Wiki.
Now, shut up. Esther, Bester, Sester, Dester, Fester.
Yeah, that's it, Fester. That's very pretty. Hey, boss, you're crazy. Just because you like the dame screams.
But she's different, I tell you. She'll be great. Gester, Hester, Jester, Lester. Lester. Vicky Lester. That's it. Get to work. This girl is going to be a star.
Yes, Vicky was on her way. A star had been born. Sometimes in Hollywood it happens that way. And sometimes other things happen there, too.
Us, Esther, the two of us, but well, you're too young to make a mistake. A man can't throw away his life the way I've thrown away mine and have anything left that's, well, good enough.
That's
for...
not true, Norman. That's not true.
You mustn't tell me that, Esther. I'm so afraid I'll believe it.
Believe this, darling. Oh, I'll be very proud to be Mrs. Norman Ray.
Yes, Cinderella won French charm. But Hollywood loves its little touches of irony. A star is born, a star is dying. And as time went on, even the happiness he had with Vicky couldn't shut Norman Maine's eyes to what was going on.
Hello. Oh, yes, Movie Screen Magazine. Well, I'd be glad to give you an appointment for... Oh, I see. You just want to interview my wife. Of course.
Hey, bartender. Bartender, now look. What if you haven't seen me for a long time? These are my 3 days, aren't they? I'm not overworked, so give me a drink, huh? A double.
So, this is where the great man in the skid spends his time now, huh? Santa Anita.
Hello, Libby. Take it easy, huh?
Well, I've had a couple myself, and I don't have to write your publicity anymore. I'm not your sanatorium. Nobody cares about your scrapes anymore, so why pretend? It's only your wife who pretends these things.
Shut up, will you? I said leave me alone.
What are you sure about? You're fixed nice and comfortable. You got a wife to live off, haven't you? Vicky still buys you drinks.
Why, you...
Oh, no, you don't, you flabby.
Oh. Hey, what's going on here?
It's all right. Don't bother to throw him out. He's just a harmless has-been.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Academy, my husband was detained tonight by illness. But he said if I did win an Oscar, I should be sure to make a nice speech. Well, now all I can think of is thank you. It's just so much the greatest thing that could ever happen to an actress.
Very sweet, my dear. Very pretty. And I want to be the fifth to congratulate you on a valuable little piece of bric-a-brac. Now, I want to make a speech. Gentlemen of the Academy, fellow suckers, I got one of those awards for the best performance. It don't mean a thing. People get them every year. What I want is a special award, something nobody else can get. I want a statue for the worst performance of the year. I want three statues for the three worst performances of the year. I earned them. I earned them, and everybody that saw those last masterpieces of mine knows I've earned them. And what I'm here to find out, ladies and gentlemen, is do I get them?
Excuse me.
Well, answer me. Yes or no? So he finally came back,
did he? Shh. Sleep right in there. He's been sleeping nearly all the day, Oliver. Oh, it's so awful to see this happen to... to somebody you love, and know in your heart that there's nothing you can do about it.
Do you still love him, Vicky, or do you feel sorry for him?
It's so hard to tell where one leaves off and the other begins. I only know that all I can do now is stay with him and try to help. I know you'll understand after last night. I can't do any more pictures. I'm going away for good with Norman.
Vicky, you can't do that. You're at the very peak of your success. It's your life you're giving up, Vicky.
So I can try to get Norman back here.
But, Vicky, you'll never...
Don't get out of here, Oliver. Go on, leave me alone.
All right, Vicky. Hey, what's this?
Norman, I thought you were asleep.
Sure, I was asleep.
You didn't hear what Oliver said.
Was Oliver here? Darling, darling, look at me. This is Maine coming in to apologize again.
Oh, no, dearie. Really, it's not you.
Well, what other troubles have you got?
None. I was just playing a scene with myself.
Now, look, I'm just coming out of the jitters, and you're just going into them. This is a swell household.
Isn't it?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll promise to brace up if you'll go on the wagon.
Well, I guess I have been drinking too much.
You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to be an athlete.
Gee. You mean with big muscles and everything?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to join the YMCA?
No, I thought too much. No, darling, I'm going wading in our front yard. Malibu has some advantages.
But swimming, darling, are you sure you...
I love you very much, Mrs. Maine. Could you have a hot toddy? I mean, some hot soup for me when I come back?
Some hot soup, darling. Ready and waiting.
Sure. When I come back. Goodbye, darling.
Your grandmother. Now you listen to me. So your husband had an accident and was drowned. Well, I told you when you were little that mine was killed by an Indian. I told you when I gave you the money to come here, if you get what you want, you have to give your heart in exchange. You said you were willing, remember? Well, maybe you got more than you bargained for, more fame, success, even more personal happiness. Yes, and maybe more unhappiness. But you made a bargain. Tragedy is the test of courage, Esther. If you can meet it bravely, it will leave you bigger than it found you. If you can't, then all your life you'll live with a coward, because no matter where you run, you can never run away from yourself, from the quitter. Well, Esther, this is Hollywood. Not much different from the rest of the world. So what are you going to do about it?
Vicky Lester just a few weeks after that. Where was it? Well, at the premiere of her latest picture, naturally. At Grauman's Chinese, right here in Hollywood. I'll never forget what he said to the announcer when he saw her coming and told the crowd that they beloved Vicky Lester approaching the microphone.
Hello, everybody. This is Mrs. Norman Maine.
Are born, but it takes more than nativity to make them survive. The road to fame in pictures is mighty rocky. The highway of survival after arrival is torturous. Think back over the years on the new faces that have flashed on and off the marquees. It's the public and your determination that will keep you on top. You youngsters of today have a very difficult job. Today, in addition to your battle for survival in the public eye, you face the great conflict confronting all of us, our country's survival in a world of hate and suspicion. Young and old, we're all in this battle together, and whether we win or lose is a gain in the laps of you youngsters. So we salute all you talented, earnest young people throughout the land. And on this New Year's Eve, it might be auspicious for all of us to sit down for a moment and reflect. Because it's our country's survival that's at stake. And let's ask ourselves this question. Are we ready?
Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with news of the stars and the stars that make news. Two of America's top songwriters will tell the story behind the song the world will hear at the premiere of the Halls of Montezuma. And there will be visits with Gordon McRae, Richard and Ruth Conti, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Happy New Year, everybody!
And make a date for next Sunday for Hedda Hopper's Hollywood. From the ringside seat, the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. Hedda Hopper Show is an FMV production directed by Gil Faust and the music by Frank Worth. The use of A Star Is Born was through the courtesy of Edward L. Apperson, producer of The Sword of Monte Cristo, starring George Montgomery and Paula Corday. Sword of Monte Cristo will be released in February by 20th Century Fox. This is Art Baker bidding you good night.